Good morning. This is a sermon that Pastor Don had prepared, but he's not able to be here either. So a couple of us are going to read the sermon for you. This is from the scripture reading is from Ruth chapter 2, verses 4 through 23. And the sermon title is Thrice Blessed. Ruth chapter 2, verse 4. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, whose young woman is that? The foreman replied, she's the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather from among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in other fields, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. At this she bowed with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? Boaz said, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes today, my Lord, she said. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephod. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten. Her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz, she said. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She added, that man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of our mouths, the meditations of our heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. The sermon title is Thrice Blessed. And Pastor Don says he struggled with this text. Reading it over and over again, it was challenging to determine what to share. There's one significant aspect introduced, but the bulk of the chapter is simply a love story. In fact, it occurred to him that the story of Ruth is an ancient Hallmark movie. Does that seem far-fetched? He jokes with Carol that Hallmark movies are so similar. So he Googled Hallmark movie plots. An article came up titled The Seven Plots of Hallmark Movies. Here is the very first plot in the list. Deceased parent leads to other parent needing help from child, which leads to a love connection. Isn't that our love story here? It even takes place in a small town where everyone seems to know everyone else. Well, yes, but there's much more also. We must remember the framing of our story. It opens up in the first verse. In the ancient days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. The story closes with the genealogy of David at the end of the fourth chapter. Ruth 4:17, the woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Pastor Don goes on to say, how do I preach a love story?
Ruth is to be admired. She is bravely moved ahead into the unknown out of her love for her mother-in-law and lays calm to the whole new life. Ruth is hard work. She is humble, very grateful for the favor she has been shown so that she can provide for herself and Naomi. Boaz is a highly esteemed man in his community. He is prominent, wealthy, and godly. His workers say to him, "The Lord bless you." In verse 19, Naomi says, "Blessed be the man who took notice of you." After learning it was Boaz, Naomi says, "The Lord blessed him." Boaz is thrice blessed, and each time is empathetic. Boaz immediately noticed Ruth gleaning in the fields and asked the foreman, "Whose young woman is that?" While it might make us uncomfortable to hear that question, we must understand it was a vastly different culture. It might be insightful to consider it with two other statements. Boaz told the men not to touch Ruth. Naomi told her, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the girls, because if someone else is in the field, you might be harmed." Remember, these were the dark days of judges. The mistreatment of women were commonplace. As Pastor Don read through some of the judges, it was so horrific to even cite here. Violence, lawlessness abounded as everyone did what was right in their own eyes. What caused Boaz's eyes about Ruth? Maybe he normally knew everyone that worked in the field. Maybe as a Moabite, she was dressed a little different. Maybe Ruth was attractive. He had heard about Ruth's love and dedication to Naomi. Boaz offered Ruth encouragement. He speaks to her directly and offers her opportunity throughout the harvest seasons. He provided her protection. He invites her to his table. He generously instructed his men to give her extra privileges. You can see in the interaction between Boaz and Ruth that there is tenderness and respect. Is the hand of God involved here? It seems highly likely that the same grace that brought Ruth to Boaz's field is seasoning their conversation and relationship. The significant factor in all of this is the introduction of Boaz as a close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. The concept is a critical component of that culture, and it points to the Lord Jesus. While Boaz is a type of Christ, let Pastor Don offer a disclaimer. Sometimes Christian interpretation goes too far. Too often, connections are made that should not be made. This is a Jewish story, and to take everything that Boaz says and apply it to Jesus not only stretches the truth, it undermines the credibility of Boaz as a type of Christ. We will gain some insight by looking at the Levitical law relating to the kinsmen redeemers. A person who buys back, redeems, saves, rescues a family member. In ancient days, it was the responsibility of the nearest relative to provide for the family and to protect the rights of all family members. The nearest relative was known as the redeemer or the kinsman goel. The kinsman redeemer was responsible by the law to save his relative from any trouble the relative faced. The kinsman redeemer was to avenge the death of a murdered relative, was to redeem or buy back land that had been sold by a family member. was to buy back a family member who had been sold as a slave, was to look after a family member who faced a critical need, was helpless to meet the needs himself, was to marry the wife of the dead brother who had no children, was to help family members secure justice in legal disputes and in courts of the land. Simply stated, the Kinsman Redeemer took care of weak family members who faced critical or hopeless situations. This was the law of the Kinsman Redeemer, a law established by God himself. It was the principle of redemption that guaranteed the rescue or salvation of his people from helplessness, hopeless situations. As we continue through this love story of Ruth, the figure of Boaz as a redeemer will be expanded. In total, redeem or redeemer is used 21 times in these four chapters. Of course, we know Jesus as our redeemer. Mark 10, verse 45, in the New International Version, 84, "For even the Son of Man did not go to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." The two disciples on their way to Emmaus on that first Easter afternoon said in Luke 24, verse 20 to 21, "The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that he might receive the full rights of sons." And in Galatians 3, chapter 13, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" Titus chapter 2, verse 12, 14, "It, the grace of God, teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his own, eager to do what is good. I will sing of my Redeemer. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the cross to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save, in his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I tell, how the glory he gave me, our sin and death and hell. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love for me. He from death to life has brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, oh sing, my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debts, and made me free.
Maybe a love story does preach. John 3, 16 through 18 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. 1 John 4, 7 through 12, God's Love and Ours, says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, since God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Amen and amen. And I thought we would end the service with the Psalm 91 prayer that Pastor Don often prays, so I'll share that now. Father, you are the Most High God, almighty and all-knowing. It is my desire to be close to you under your loving protection. You are my refuge and my fortress, not only God of all, but my personal God in whom I trust. Surely you will save from Satan's snare and from deadly pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings we are safe. Your faithfulness will be our shield and rampart. I will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. I will only observe and see with my eyes the punishment of the wicked. It is the desire of my heart, Lord, to dwell with you, Creator, in whom I find refuge. You protect me from harm, keep disaster from my home. May your angels guard me in all my ways, even to the point of catching me when I trip up. When beasts and venomous creatures assail me, you are with me. I do love you, Lord, and I acknowledge your blessedness and holiness. I call on you now, Father, and I know that you will answer. You will be with me in trouble, deliver me, and honor me with your presence. Grant me long life and show me your salvation. Lord, use me till everyone has heard the good news of Jesus, so that they too may take hold of your mercy, grace, providence, and protection. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.